welcome to another edition of Blah Blah Wrestling. We're reviewing Money in the Bank and on the giant controversy that it was. It's Benny with you, Sean, Steve, and it's good to talk about wrestling. It's good to talk about a pay-per-view where things happened. Storylines progressed. SmackDown pay-per-views, they're getting back to normal a little bit. Money in the Bank, for what it was worth, controversially, it did have a lot of progressions in terms of storylines. But first, gotta see how the guys are doing. Steve, Sean, how you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Shame on Evan.
Yeah, shame on Evan.
Shame on you, Evan.
What did Evan do?
He knows what he did.
He knows exactly what he did. Shame, shame.
Shame. Anyway, so guys, Money in the Bank just, you know, of course, passed by on Sunday. Yeah, it came and went, basically. And I have to say, for what it was, I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view. My opinion, it was a pretty good pay-per-view. But the big elephant in the room is what happened in the first match. So, of course, pre-show, who cares? The first match was the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which I thought was the right way to start off the pay-per-view because you want to get, you know, you want to get the crowd into it. That was the way, a way to get the crowd was hot for this match pretty much from start to end. And it, I thought up until the ending, it delivered. And it was exactly the way I thought it was going to be. And not quite as physical, but there was a lot of big spots. And then the ending happened. But before we get to the ending, Sean, what did you think of the Women's Money in the Bank match?
Well, you're right, starting it off on the show, you don't want to put the two ladder matches too close to each other, which could have easily been done if they wanted to. But as far as the Women's Money in the Bank match went, I thought it was just okay. I mean, it was sloppy at points. I give them credit for trying to do as much as they could, but I don't know. There were some spots in there that were a little troublesome. Like the first 5 minutes of the match were basically all the women fighting to hold on to a ladder because they were all trying to snatch them from each other, and then the last 10 minutes of the match were everyone tipping over the ladder for no reason. And then the ending just kind of came out of nowhere. It felt like they were building up to something. And then James Ellsworth climbed up and grabbed it, which I am not a huge fan of. I mean, I understand the reasoning for doing that, and the reasoning is because to boost up some ratings for this week and next week. But it leaves a sour taste in your mouth when the very first women's Money in the Bank ladder match is the finish is a man grabbing the briefcase and giving it to someone.
And we'll get into the ending a little bit, but Steve, I want to hear from you before we start picking apart and dissecting the ending of this match.
I mean, I give the women credit. They definitely tried really hard. I mean, there was a few moments where it got a little hinky, but I mean, I give them credit. I wasn't a big fan of the ending too. Because that kind of felt like it had Vince's fingerprints all over it. Like I do get that it's generating a lot of heat and a lot of buzz, and it definitely got a lot of views because it's just very controversial. But I don't know. Just from a principal's perspective, I think it's kind of screwy to have the first ever women's Money in the Bank match. Women's Money in the Bank match end with a guy getting the briefcase. It's kind of like, come on, they have one moment and we have to resort to this. Like they couldn't have found any other way, but I mean, it is what it is, and I get why they did it, but I'm not a huge fan of it either.
Do you really think that was a Vince idea? Because
it feels like it is. I don't know, it feels like it is to me. I don't know what it is, but
I think Vince probably signed off on it, but I don't think that was Vince's idea. I think if anything, it probably was like a Shane McMahon idea, maybe.
Shane McMahon's not in creative.
Oh, I mean, to me, if that was a full-fledged Vince idea, I feel like they would have built up to it a little more, or at least had some kind of wonky thing that happened where James Ellsworth just, and no, like literally no one's in the ring, and James Ellsworth go like to really cast it home, but. To me, I don't think it was a Vince idea. I think this was something they all agreed with earlier. Like, I'm not even talking about the day of. I think this was like a month in advance thing they were saying, okay, we're doing a Women's Money in the Bank match. We want to have James Ellsworth win just to get that white heat, or the heat, onto Carmella.
No,
so
I don't think. No, I mean, obviously they were looking at Carmella to win, but I mean, I don't think that they had the Ellsworth idea of him actually grabbing the briefcase that early on. I wouldn't be surprised if it was come up with on the day of the show.
I don't think it was come up with on the day of the show.
Also, to me, it I don't know why. I mean, I've been watching, you know, SmackDown for a while now, and I don't know why that just felt, because I know, you know, Road Dogg is kind of in charge of SmackDown. That kind of felt like his fingerprints a little bit for that ending. But it's really it's more so just the fact that, hey, we're branding this women's revolution, and we're gonna, you know, empower women, and they can do everything that the men can do. And we can put on all these great matches, like a Hell in a Cell match. We can do an Iron Man match. We can do a hardcore match. We can do a cage match. We can do all these matches. And then your very first women's Money in the Bank ladder match, the one thing people are going to always remember is the person who removed the briefcase was a dude. And you're never going to get that back. And I think that's kind of a misstep.
So you brought up the point of talking about the history, and it's interesting you brought up that point before I let Steve talk here. You talk about the history, and it seems like the WWE is going in this direction where they're trying to distance themselves from their history a little bit, or at least start this new era and not compare it to the history as much. To me, it seemed like this was a step in that direction. This is like a different. Like they're not so concerned with the legacy they leave. They're concerned with building a new one.
I completely disagree. I mean, look at the last couple of WrestleManias. Who's in the main event of these WrestleManias? True. Is it guys that they've been building up for the last couple of years? No.
Oh, Roman Reigns.
Bill Goldberg. We have The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar. I mean, you have all these guys. Yeah, Roman Reigns, great. But you have Triple H. You have all these guys who are older people who. Their stardom was back in the day, and they're the ones that they're relying on for their biggest show of the year. I don't think that they're trying to negate any history that they've had before and trying to. I mean, they're almost a company built off of their history, if you really think about it. Look at the new video game ad. Like, it's Seth Rollins destroying. He's not destroying anyone from the current roster in there. He's destroying all these legends.
He killed a security guard.
Well, he did that too, but you can't tell me that the company does not look at their history. That's just completely untrue.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're trying to like push. They're not trying to compare this generation as much to their old history. They're trying to start anew. They're trying to get into this new generation, because that's kind of been the problem with this new generation so far.
Yeah, by bringing Goldberg back.
Well, if this was. Goldberg was brought back to elevate Brock Lesnar after squashing him for months. He was back right
no,
elevate
it wasn't.
Brock Lesnar. I'm just gonna say that. I think the reason they did this is because they, you know, you said to boost the ratings for a couple of weeks prior to the podcast, but I honestly think that like one of the issues, and we've brought this up before on the show, one of the issues with wrestling nowadays is the heels aren't really heels. They're kind of like baby faces that are angry. Like they make valid points. Often at times you don't really disagree with them or you don't hate them. And I mean, let's think about it. So the top heels are supposed to be heels in the company. You know, you have your Kevin Owenses, you have your I guess Braun Strowman is supposed to be a heel, but he's cheered as a baby face. And the women's side, you have Alexa Bliss, who's cheered as a baby face. When Charlotte was during her run, she was cheered as a baby. When Sasha Banks was a heel, she was cheered as a baby face. So when Carmella comes out now, her legacy is that she's okay and doesn't really care about this women's revolution.
Her legacy?
That's Carmella's legacy, is that she doesn't really care about this women's revolution. Her
She's been on the main roster for less than a year. She has a legacy now. Oh, okay.
Well, my legacy was a poor choice of words. You're right, but now, like, what Carmella is known for is that she just doesn't really care about this women's revolution. She, like, history to her means nothing. She wants to win, and to me, I actually kind of like that. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that it was the best decision they could have done. I think in the end, you're right. If this was the second or third women's Money in the Bank match, I think we wouldn't be huffing and puffing as much as we are about
sure,
it.
Why not?
But the fact that this was the first one
is
why it leaves a sour taste in our mouth.
There's ways you could have done it too that would have been effective in the same regard. Like, you could have had him, James Ellsworth, do the Rhino spot from WrestleMania 17, where he puts Carmella on his shoulders and climbs the ladder for her, and then she removes the briefcase. That way, you get both accomplished there. There's some doubt in the validity of the win, and you have Carmella actually removing the briefcase.
And you have, and of course, the one thing they want from this whole thing is the image of a woman holding up the briefcase. Yeah, they want that at the top of the ladder.
Well, she didn't get to hold it up. She was just dead on the floor the whole time.
Yeah. Did she had a mark on her chin. Did you see that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
She had like a nasty, looked like a bruise on her chin from the match. I don't know if that was some pre-match stuff or whatever, but to me, again, I'm not as pissed off about it as many other people, because we live in a world where women are, as you said, doing Hell in a Cell matches, hardcore matches, kendo stick on a pole matches.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
table matches. Well, I'm just saying, the way we think of the women's division nowadays is not the way we thought of it 5 or 10 years ago. They're not in their bra and panties. They're not in mud matches. They're not stripping in front of us. They're not doing hot dog eating contests or hot dog swallowing contests.
When did they ever do that?
I don't know. They're not being paraded around as like these sex objects, you know. Of course, what they do on social media is another thing, but
Hey Steve, you remember when Candace was doing those hot dog eating contests?
she was deep throating the bratwursts.
Yeah, Triple H to be exact.
The point I'm making is, like, this is not the women's division of 2007. This is not the women's division of 1998. You know, these women are thought of as competitors. And at times, they're thought of as almost more important as the men. And in a world of equality, and if we're going to say equality, how often have you seen a female valet get involved in a match between two men? I'll just point out the fact that Miz and Maryse, that happens almost every single Miz and Maryse match. But why is it that when it happens in a female match, a male valet gets involved?
No,
all of a sudden it's...
That's not the point. It's the fact that it was the finish. Like, you can have that spot. You could have had the spot where James Ellsworth climbs the ladder, tries to get the briefcase, but then someone knocks him off. That's perfectly fine. It's because it's a finish.
See, to me, if they play this correctly, we could have a match somewhere down the road, like on a SmackDown. James Ellsworth versus Charlotte. It goes like maybe 30 seconds. Hold on. Charlotte spears him like 50 times and pins him.
Manny, they're PG. They don't do those matches anymore.
Have to get a single punch in.
There will never be an intersex match in WWE.
And nor should there be.
The most you will get maybe is like when I think it was the week before Money in the Bank when James Ellsworth was on the outside and someone dove on him and took him out. I think something like that happened.
Oh, WrestleMania, you had the bump.
Yeah.
Steph went to the table.
Or I'm saying Becky will throw James into like a T-bone suplex. That'll be the most you'll ever see. He'll be in the ring and she'll just get him out of the way. I doubt that there would ever be a full-on match, even if it was James Ellsworth getting his ass kicked the whole time.
See, to me, I would actually kind of want to watch that. One week ago, I believe, last NXT, where two women put each other through a table. Like, this
there are
is
two
not...
women.
Yes, I understand.
There's
but,
no
like,
men
this
involved.
Is... This is the this, but Sean, this is the reality of the women's division in today's WWE.
What the frick is your point? I don't get it.
My point is we shouldn't make it as big of a deal as we are. Social media is losing their minds over this. And to me, it's not that big of a deal.
People were really angry the night after, and today, Thursday, things have kind of cooled down. Now they're going to do the rematch on SmackDown next week. People aren't as angry as they were before. Some people may still be angry, but I don't think people are outside with pitchforks, you know, flaming pitchforks waiting to, you know, attack
they
anyone.
I think what they did Tuesday on SmackDown really alleviated a lot of the feelings. Cause I mean, he stripped her of the Money in the Bank briefcase. And he said that there was going to be a rematch next SmackDown, and it just kind of that's that. There's no reason to be angry anymore.
See, to me, I almost don't like the fact that they went back and they're like, oh no.
Well, that was the whole point of the finish was to do the rematch.
Yeah, so that way they could get more eyes on SmackDown.
Which, I mean, I don't agree with that either, because I don't think you should be doing matches like that on a free TV, but that's what it was designed to do.
I don't think it's so much the free TV as much as it's like, if I want more like a commitment to a story, okay? If you're going to go and you're going to go and say James Ellsworth is doing this, well, do it. Do it. Do it and get the heat on Carmella, build up a heel, because guess what? If you have a really good heel, like if Carmella could have nailed this as a heel, it gives the opportunity for Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Naomi to take a step up.
She's doing that though. She had a really good promo on SmackDown. It was bad optics for the very first women's Money in the Bank ladder match, and they could have done it in a better way and have the same result. And I guess we should just leave it at that.
I think in the end, the best thing to have done, and this is when I was arguing for it, that's past the point. This is before the point, before the Money in the Bank match. The best thing would have done would have been to have like a Natalya win it, maybe keep those baby faces kind of, because Charlotte really doesn't need it. Becky could get it. Carmella is the one that probably would have benefited the most, but let the history build up, give it another year. And then go ahead and do the James Ellsworth stuff, okay? Because then at that point you can tell a story about Carmella learning and understanding how the match works, growing as a heel, and then going ahead and doing it. But I agree in the sense that the finish. I would have liked to have maybe seen the Rhino stuff as well. Carmella was a little too dead on the ground for what happened. I really didn't understand why she was that like completely out of it. But
what happened to her? Didn't she take? She took some move, right?
She took some. It was Becky Lynch gave her something, I think.
Was it Bexploder or whatever the heck? The Exploder Suplex.
I don't know what it was. I think
it doesn't matter. She was dead. Oh no, I remember what it was. She power bombed her off the ladder.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's what it was. That makes sense. That makes sense why she's dead. Then I'm fine with that.
Well, anyway, so that was the opener. Kind of a weird ending to the opener, because then after the James Ellsworth thing, the refs congregated. James Ellsworth grabbed the mic and announced that your first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder winner is Carmella, and that was kind of the end of that. Music played and they went off. Now, they go into a tag match, and this is one that's starting to piss people off a little bit when it happened. New Day versus the Usos. People were like, oh, why wrestle for that long and then have the Usos walk away? The Usos retaining via countout over New Day. I disagree with the fans again. I think that's a typical Uso thing to do, especially because they're heels. And heels aren't supposed to allow fans to get that completion. Heels are supposed to do heel things, and I like that they're doing this. But
yeah,
heels
are supposed to blue ball the crowds.
That's the whole point. You know, I forget what the syndrome is, but there's a syndrome where people need to have something completed when it starts.
Yeah, it's called blue balls.
And that's what heels are supposed to prevent you from getting a finish, at least whenever they can. Steve, what'd you think of the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship match?
I thought it was pretty damn good. I would go as far as to say this was my match of the night. I thought it was really
real?
Good. I was really into that match. I love the Usos and I love New Day, and I just thought it was really exciting. And the ending was kind of eh. I do agree, like them kind of slinking off into the crowd was like kind of out of. I didn't expect it to happen, but it is a heel thing to do. They took a powder and just slunk out the back of the arena and hopped the wall. But I don't know. I genuinely enjoyed the match. I thought that their styles. I mean, they're really good friends in real life. Like New Day and the Usos are really good friends, and they just put together a really good match, and they played really well, and I liked it.
There's a lot of chemistry there, and if there were two teams that you can put into a story and know that you're going to get at least a decent story out of it, New Day and the Usos are the team to do it. Both have a lot of history in the company. Sean, what did you think of the New Day versus Usos?
I thought it was pretty good. I don't have a huge problem with the finish, although you could have probably done the same idea with maybe, you know, rolling someone up and grabbing the tights or something like that. Just a thought. There was a few botches in the match, like when he tried to catch him for the splash with the big ending, but then kind of dropped him and had to pick him back up.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rough.
And then the referee almost probably counting three, and then they had to get like the one Uso was a little late. So a little hiccups in there, but overall it was pretty good.
Yeah, this was not the cleanest of all the matches we've seen, but I really do wish Big E would stop with that big ending. He needs to find something else to do. Every time I always squinch at his wrists. But yeah, this was a pretty solid match. Of all, what?
You think the big ending's dangerous?
Well, think about it. The big ending, he gets a guy on his shoulder, rolls it, and his elbow is going right into the mat.
He's just taking a back bump.
He's not
laying on like the point of his elbow.
Am I getting the move wrong? I think he has the guy up on his shoulder, and when he rolls it over, like his elbow is at a 90-degree angle going right into the mat. I know he's taking a bit of a he's laying a little bit on his back, but
it's a pretty safe move.
Yeah, he literally puts him on his shoulder and then just falls backwards and slams him face first into the mat.
It's so safe that their other finish is someone jumps off the top rope while he's doing that. So, you know.
The Midnight Hour is just a DDT is Xavier Kofi gives them a DDT while he does the big ending.
Yeah.
The Midnight Hour.
I don't know, just to me, like I think of all the awful things that can happen here.
That's what you're concerned of and not the suicide dives he keeps doing.
Well, I don't like those.
That's terrifying.
I have a history of saying I want him to stop those. I like that to me is a disaster. Like he's going to tear something one day or break something one day.
He's been pretty. I don't think he's had any really big injuries since he started. I think he's been all right. Hopefully that keeps going.
Wasn't he on what? No, I don't think has he ever been hurt? I don't know if he's ever been hurt.
Substantial matter. He had that kayfabe groin injury from when the club pulled him against the ring post, but that was kayfabe.
I don't know, but to me, I don't know. I just would prefer if he found some other moves to do than the big thing.
I think Sean, he's like, perfectly fine.
Sean like a Frankensteiner.
But we're definitely getting a rematch. They went to it directly at SmackDown.
Well, I don't know because
they went to a one-on-one at SmackDown.
Depends.
So.
If the Hype Bros beat the Usos on SmackDown this week, then they're going to get a title shot.
Something tells me they wouldn't completely like cast the New Day aside. There's got to be a story.
I totally think that the Hype Bros are losing and Mojo's turning on Zach. But if they did beat them, then they would be the next in line probably.
That would be interesting. That would be like.
I hope they get Mojo away from Zack Ryder because I love Zack Ryder. He's like one of my like low key favorite guys. Yeah, he's a bro, man. He's been in my Long Island Ice Z for a while.
You know what's gonna happen between those two. You know which one they're gonna push.
Mojo. Mm-hmm. Zach's been around for a while. They can use him for a lot. I don't think his push is totally dead.
And Zach will probably be able to fill out, especially towards the mid card. He'll definitely be able to add some mid card feuds in there. But
he's a good talent. He's not like amazing, but he's not like terrible.
I don't think this is going to be like a complete Cass and Enzo situation where Enzo is. You know, Enzo's going to be like thrown onto the 205
oh God,
live.
He's cashing in.
We'll have to see with the Hype Bros. That would be a tag team that would not be too much of a bad decision to split them up. Anyway, so that was the tag match. We go for our second straight championship here with the women's match. Naomi versus Lana. The build up to this was Lana not really doing anything to warrant a title shot. Ugh. And let me tell you, her wrestling. Why can't she just be a valet? Like, why was it so much of a big deal for her to not, you know, to wrestle? She's not great.
I counted. She forgot which leg she was working on three times in that match.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't disagree with that. She's greener
than goose crap. It's unbelievable. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, she's only been wrestling for like what, a year or two? Like maybe,
yeah,
well,
not even.
Alexa's only been wrestling for like 3 years.
Who?
Alexa.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, obviously, with every person, it'll like there's a different skill set, and it's gonna take time to come. I mean, I know Lana herself. Yeah, I know. I know Lana is a very extremely athletic human being because she's a world class dancer and stuff. But I mean,
why the hell
obviously
is she,
that doesn't translate to wrestling.
What the hell is that stupid finisher she's using? The hammerlock into a spine buster?
It's the hammerlock clash of the Titus.
Yeah, what the hell? Why is she not using a camel clutch just like her husband?
She's a part of the Titus brand.
Just do the accolade. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And that hammerlock spinebuster looks so weird.
Especially considering how she lets go of the hammerlock. It's like, why even bother doing it?
Yeah, just do a spinebuster. I'd be fine with that. Or like it almost looks like you know, you remember like when Paige she would do the rampage, mm-hmm. like that weird like lockup DDT. It almost looks like that in the beginning, but then she lets go instead of falling into a DDT.
Yeah.
It looks so strange.
Either way, this match could be the worst of the night.
It was pretty bad. I felt bad for Naomi. And I love Lana. I think she's awesome, but she's not ready for this yet. Like, I don't know if she's ever going to pick it up.
This match literally had everything going for it to be awful. Naomi, who... she's a great worker, but she is less technical and more athletic. Like, I would say that Naomi's probably one of the most athletic women on the roster, but when it comes to technical stuff and calling a match, Naomi struggles with that. So you take her, you take a woman that struggles with calling a match and struggles with the technical aspects of a WWE match, and you put her with someone that's only been wrestling for maybe 2 years.
Yeah, it's not a good combination.
That's what we refer to as a problem. A very big problem, and it definitely showed.
I don't see Tyson Tomko anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, geez. We need a problem solver, Sean.
Nah, it was bad. It was bad. So you go, and this is where, like, laying out the card kind of bit the WWE in the back, because I think this would have been the point where you do Breezango versus the Ascension. But they decided to go another way. Actually, wait a second.
Before the title match.
We did. We had a debut of sorts. Was it before the women's match or the WWE title match?
I think it was the title match.
Okay. Oh, we'll talk about it in a second. But any last thoughts on Naomi versus Lana?
Hell no.
Nope. All right. So they do this segment with Breezango. And it's funny. It's they're in their office trying to figure out who destroyed their office, and they get a video, an old VHS tape, and it's
they're shadowy.
Yeah, shadowy figures.
It's called silhouetting.
Silhouetting. Yes. Okay. Two silhouetted figures that admitted to doing the deed, and they wanted to meet Breezango in the ring. So immediately after that, out they play the Power of Love, and I'm thinking, does this have anything to do with that? If so, it's kind of odd.
No. It's so cheesy.
Fantastic.
Of every entrance throughout the whole WWE, like Raw, NXT, SmackDown. This is the most 80s thing I've ever heard.
It's amazing.
All they're missing is like the John Morrison like slow motion with the wind and stuff.
No, you need a perm. They need a perm, oiled up skin. Oh, you need the whole.
Yeah, you need Jerry curls and all. But it is so 80s. Oh my God.
It's fantastic. I think it's great.
It's so 80s, it's so goofy. I feel so bad for Mike Bennett.
I feel bad for him too, because you know what's going to happen is, because he's Mike Kanellis, he's literally being emasculated by this whole gimmick.
Yeah, that's the whole heel part about this gimmick, is like he's a cucky male who gave up his last name.
Like, how am I ever supposed to take him seriously as a wrestler?
Like, yeah, he's been totally snipped below the belt.
I don't think they can go with Miracle Mike Bennett. I definitely can't go with that.
Like, remember, you know, Shawn Michaels' theme song, you're talking about a boy toy? That's Mike Kanellis. He's a boy toy.
Oh, God. I mean, when they first came out, I was hoping for, like, Miz and Maryse type thing where Maria Kanellis is like...
Oh, shit, he's cashing in again.
God, Baron, relax. He's not even here.
I don't see gender anywhere.
I was hoping that maybe they would opt for, like, a Miz and Maryse type situation, but...
I think that's what they were going for, because, you know, they...
Nah, it's full on cuck at this point.
Well, I mean, the way that he was speaking, I don't know if this was from the segment Money in the Bank or on SmackDown. They were very similar, so I'm confusing them. But at one point he said, out of all the men in the world, you chose me. And that's something very much that, like, a girl would say to a guy. So they're definitely making it like she, like, I won't be surprised if it comes out that she, like, for this angle, that she proposed to him and he said yes.
Absolutely, that's going to happen.
Something like that. Without a doubt, it'll be some kind of nonsense like that. And, like, she's going to call the shots and he's going to, like, you know, just follow her stuff.
He is such an afterthought throughout this whole thing. And, you know, most of his career, he's been overshadowed by Maria. And that's just the case. And the fact that...
he can't
even use his own last name. He has to use her last name. And and the gimmick itself is so cheesy and so, like, it feels like something from the 90s WWE era.
It does. It does really. It does a lot. It really does.
Like, I can just imagine the pitch where they're just like, oh, they're so in love with each other. And Vince is just like, oh, we need hearts all over them. Like,
we need hearts.
Yeah.
And they need a terrible 80s sounding entrance music.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so cheesy.
It really was. I was amazed.
I just don't see how already, I don't see how Bennett's going to get over at all. Like,
I don't either. And she's already calling herself, like, the first woman of SmackDown Live.
Yeah. And, well, she was using that in all the other promotions too.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, but
do you think this is going to be like Sable and Mark Mero?
Oh, of course, probably. Although I don't she's just not going to, I mean, she's not a wrestler. She can't really, I mean,
I was going to say, like, she, like, what's the end game here, cuz she can't, she, I don't think she's wrestled since
she wrestled in Ring of Honor. Briefly, and I think she may have wrestled a match in TNA. I'm not sure.
You're not going to be seeing her shaking her butt like she did.
No, she's not an active competitor. She's basically there to be at ringside and be a distraction from her husband, which is, to me, not a good thing at all.
No.
Well, Lana was that way with Rusev, but Rusev was substantially more believable as a competitor. They built Rusev.
And also Rusev wasn't a cuck either.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got a point there.
And then they debut him on the pay-per-view, and they're nowhere to be seen on SmackDown.
Yeah, they were on website exclusive.
Yeah, they were on SmackDown Fallout. It's like, great, that's great, thanks.
Yeah, awesome. That's the resident place for Luke Harper as well. Somehow he made it on the show.
When he just kind of talks about, like, nonsense. He's like, hey, it's Monday, you know what that means.
Hey, it's Tuesday.
Grace, the SmackDown Fallout thing, they were teasing a match between Luke Harper and Aiden English that never happened. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. They had that weird standoff, and Luke Harper's kind of just like, okay.
Yeah, it led to nothing.
Oh, my God, Luke Harper is being wasted. What else is new? But I want to know, like, why aren't they in NXT? Like, why was it a decision just to put them right on the main roster?
Probably Maria. They think she's marketable enough.
Marketer? Because
she has a big butt.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree with that, but certainly was an odd segue between the women's championship and the men's championship. It was like, oh, well, Maria Kanellis is back. Great. Fantastic. Why is he going by her last name? And JBL even said, he was just like, he took her last name.
His face when he said that too, you could just see, like, the inner Texan in him was so upset. The inner Texan in him was like, why the hell did he take her last name? Well, that's not how it works.
Look at it this way. At least when he fails, he can go back on the indies and use his Mike Bennett name, as opposed to, you know, because I mean,
Mike Kanellis.
Yeah, I mean, is his name legally Kanellis? Because his actual name is Mike Bennett. I'm curious if he actually legally changed his name to. No, I don't think he did. No. I think
he did. I pray he didn't go full cuck. I pray.
Like this. This is way. This is the type of gimmick that can like ruin a guy. Like if he like, let's think about it. If he goes a year in the WWE with this gimmick, and tries to go out in the indies. Everywhere you go, he's going to get the Mike Kanellis.
Well, not necessarily.
Mike Kanellis.
If he's really good, they'd probably be way more forgiving on the indies because they know if you get a crappy gimmick, there's not much you can do.
And he's been everywhere too. He was in Japan. He was in Ring of Honor. He was in TNA. So people know who he is outside of WWE.
Couldn't he have like fought this a little bit? Maybe couldn't he have like you know. Said, hey, I don't really want to do this.
Ah, they're in love.
You can't not like this. It's great.
It's the power of love. Love is big. Anyway. Well, speaking of something that's powerful, we have the modern day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. This is part two. Of their series, which looks like it's going to have a part three. Well, Sean, this went 20 minutes, and let me tell you, when I say this felt longer than 20 minutes,
it was more digestible than the first one. I would say the first one was tedious to get through, although not to say that the match was a whole lot better. I mean, having the legends there was a nice little touch. But then they were teasing that Orton was going to throw the little guys on the tables again, which he kind of did almost.
I feel like Orton is legitimately trying to hurt the Singh brothers. He is so stiff with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are tiny. I will say that again. They're tiny, tiny people.
They're not big. I do agree with that. But just like I don't know if it's just Randy because he's so strong or if he's just being really stiff. But good. God, Randy, like, take it back. I mean, I get that they were trying to sell that he was in, like, a blind fury because they touched his dad. But just, like, it's like, come on, man. You're gonna kill one of them, man.
They're yeah. Like, and
they're just getting flung around and ragdolled. It's like, oh, my God.
But what I didn't like was that the finish of the match was almost identical to the same finish as the first one.
Oh, it was, if you played them both side by side, you probably couldn't tell which was which.
The only difference was in the second one, instead of just coming up from behind him and hitting his finish, he kicked him in the knee and then hit his finish. Same thought, though. Like, he went outside to beat up the other guys, came back in, and got hit with a finish.
Also, what are they calling that finish move of Jinder Mahal's? That, like... That Cobra Clutch Slam. What is that? Does that have a name yet?
Yeah, it's called like. I don't want to sound racist, so I'm not going to speculate. But it.
I'm guessing it's like an Indian name.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like something with.
I'll look it up after the show.
I think it's something with a K, something like that.
Okay, I'll look it up. Yeah, you know what made me laugh about this match too? I thought it was hysterical how like the Singh brothers grabbed Cowboy Bob Orton and like all the legends just kind of like looked and were like. Oh no! Oh, let him go. This is bad. Well, like, guys, come on. Ric Flair could have chopped somebody. Like, come on.
I mean, a lot of those legends that were sitting ringside are, you know, aside from like Sergeant Slaughter and Ric Flair, what's anyone else going to do?
Cowboy Bob Orton didn't look too bad. He's still a pretty big dude.
True, but like, you know, these guys are pretty old.
I mean, if Bob Orton really wanted to mess with the little dudes, he should have cut himself open and then
just gives color from getting grabbed in the chest like
no
oh god he's busted open.
That's not what I'm referencing.
Oh Jesus
I'll elaborate afterwards.
Oh dear Well, anyway, it looks like we're going for a third match in this series of
Punjabi event. Prison. That's what I want.
Well, yes. I know Battleground is in Philadelphia.
Punjabi Prison match.
Punjabi.
Oh, is that what I said? Punjabi, right? No, Punjani. Wait, what is it?
Punjabi?
Punjabi. P-U-N. P Punjabi.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I heard Punjabi. I was like, Jambi, like the genie from Pee Wee's Big Playhouse?
Yeah, that guy.
Mecha Hiney Ho.
I will not be satisfied until I get my Punjabi prison match.
I want a Jumanji prison match.
Get it out of the damn archives.
A Jumanji prison match. Yeah, Robin Williams is going to come back from the dead.
In the
jungle, you must wait until a dice reads 6 or 8.
I just want to see what a Punjabi prison match looks like in 2017. Like, I saw what it looked like in 2006 and 2007. I want to see what it looks like 10 years later. Are they still going to have, like, the table on the outside of the first cage with just weapons on it for no reason? are the doors going to close even though you could just, you know, climb over the top of the first cage?
Oh my god!
Like, this you know, Randy Orton doesn't have any rematches now. He has no stake to the championship, so this is all in Jinder's hands. So you know it's going that way.
Can they even fit the Punjabi prison in the arena?
Oh, I don't think they could. Well, I think. Is it the same distance between the announcers table and the ring? Is that the same distance as it was in the past? I don't think it is. I don't know what the
distance is between the ring and the barricade from 10 years ago, but I don't know. That's what I want to see.
I hope they bring back Great Khali as special guest referee.
And no, he'd be biased.
He's just yelling like his loud voice.
What about just bring back Daivari?
Daivari.
Just bring him back.
Daivari is Middle Eastern.
Use his cousin. He's already there.
All right, have him be the special referee.
Yeah, use Arya Daivari, because that way it's not biased, because he's not Indian.
That are who is that other guy that everyone keeps referencing? Oh, Muhammad Hassan. Yeah, bring him back. Why not?
Once again, still not biased, because he's not Indian.
Wait, technically he has, he's Italian, so technically he has no bias here.
Exactly.
That was the WWE.
If Muhammad Hassan is the special guest referee, we'll have to tell Evan not to watch.
Shame on Evan.
Shame on you, Evan.
I want to take a poll. What do we think Jinder Mahal's on?
I do not care what he says. Either they're covering for him massively, or he's found a way to make sure he's not pissing hot. Because when they did that entrance for him at Money in the Bank, you could see the back knee. You could see the back knee, and he blatantly has puffy nipples.
Yep.
He is on prolactin. He has to be on some kind of he might be on trend because he's so lean. He is on something. I do not care. You do not look like a human testicle just from diet and exercise alone.
And why are they
you
still,
do not?
Why are they still billing him as 220? He is not 220.
He is not. No, that's bullshit. That they said that Randy Orton was like what 30 pounds heavier than him during that match. I was
250.
I was like, no, bull crap.
Though I will say Jinder Mahal needs to hit leg day a little more, but no, you're right. There is no Jinder Mahal is at least 240, 245.
He has to be drinking some kind of like liver cleanse thing. He has to, like before the tests or whatever. Because I mean, I know that they say that,
maybe
I know they
not have, being tested.
I mean, I know that they say they're stringent with their drug policies, but when you have someone walking around their company looking like that, I know what I've seen in my brief experience with fitness and the fitness industry and how people look. You don't get to that level of body fat while maintaining that type of size without a little bit of pharmaceutical help.
From personal experience, I have literally seen kids at my high school that work out every single day and other kids that work out every single day with a little bit of help, and they look completely different. Same height, same size, same amount of eating. One just uses a little extra help and the other one doesn't. And the one that doesn't use help is still in good size. The one that does use help has veins coming out of veins. So I'm looking at Jinder, and I'm like,
I mean, I was reading an article posted by a fitness guy claiming like he was pointing out like he had a whole bunch of screenshots of like of things that like stuff that ways Jinder looked and just ways like things he was doing, because he was showing off a lot of symptoms. Number one is the back knee, which is pretty prevalent. They try to hide it and stuff, but when they do those close camera angles, you can see you can see all those craters. And then number two is the puffy nipples are so obvious. Like every time he has these big, big puffy nipples that are just so like not natural looking.
For me, and it's also the veins. Like you don't get those naturally.
Well, I mean, you can get really lean. Like you can get really, if you get sub like 7-8% body fat, which is hard. It's hard to maintain.
Well, I think the only other way I've really heard about like, or actually seen it was Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. And I think what he had to do to get those veins and that look was like he couldn't drink water for like 48 hours or something like that.
Well, yeah, because it's sodium based. But I mean, he has to drink water because he's an avid. If he wasn't drinking water, he'd be passing out during matches.
Yeah.
He'd
so be dying. But the only other way to get veins
also,
like
it's
that.
It's also genetics too. It's a lot of genetics.
Even if you're
someone who doesn't have a lot of veins, even if you take a bunch of steroids, if you're just someone who doesn't have veins close to the surface of your skin, you'll never show.
This is a guy that 2 or 3 years ago when he was last in the company looked like a pile of meat. He wasn't overtly stacked, but he was like, I mean, he was big dude, but he didn't have
he was definitely soft, and I'm not going to spell it out for you, but he was soft.
Steve, you know way too much about this stuff. I feel uncomfortable. Dude, is there something you need to tell us?
Me? Oh, I'm totally on steroids. You can tell. That's why.
Oh my God.
That's why my voice is really high and my balls are the size of raisins.
That's why you have a gorilla as your profile picture.
That's right. That's how I look. They were also saying something. They were saying something too about like, you know how Jinder's been having voice problems the last few.
Yeah,
years
I've noticed that.
Yeah, that's also a side effect of steroids because it messes with your hormones and you can get like voice changing issues.
I don't know if he's being tested because of like, you know, we know Brock Lesnar isn't tested.
Well, Brock Lesnar's on a different deal.
True. He maybe Jinder Mahal was like, I want to be on that deal.
No, that did not happen.
No, he's nowhere near the star power of a Brock Lesnar. He can't make claims like that. But I mean, I'm not going to point fingers and make any accusations. All I will say is I know what I see and something is fishy. And I'll drop it because I know we have other stuff to get to.
Hey, I mean, you have to imagine they have to be testing him. But anyway, all right. So last couple of matches on the card, we get the Breezango reveal of who damaged their office. It was the Ascension. We get a yes, the Ascension. We haven't seen those guys in a while,
the best tag team that SmackDown has.
Yep, and they got squashed.
They did.
It's 3 minutes and 50 seconds. It was a quick match. kind of makes me think they're building towards Breezango and New Day at some point, but. I mean, it have to be at some point. We're gonna get those two paths crossed. I think it would be a hilarious match.
Hey, those segments they had together were pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, you get two hot comedy acts. It can only be gold. So we got that. Any comments about Breezango's time on Money in the Bank?
I mean, I didn't expect Ascension. I mean, Ascension are probably the biggest jobbers in the whole company right now. I feel like they never win. I cannot remember the last time Ascension won anything as a team. I cannot for the life of me remember.
Go back to NXT for that.
Sean, do you have any idea the last time that Ascension won something?
Yeah, it was they actually Jesus, what show was it? It was one of the SmackDown pay-per-views. Going into it, they actually beat the champions, the tag champions.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it
was. Oh, no, Sean is right. Sean is right. I know what he's talking about. I can't name it, but I do remember that. But that's one win in God knows how long, ever since Road Dogg and Billy Gunn just killed
him. Well, I was going to say, like, they really – so they had a little bit of a renaissance on SmackDown where they were being used for a little bit. And then they had that match that – what was it? The gauntlet with American Alpha, where they were the last team and they just couldn't get the job done.
Remember that? I don't know. I mean, they're not like the most amazing team ever, obviously, but I don't know. I always felt that they kind of got, I thought they got kind of buried after the whole like the whole the Road Warrior incident. That was not.
Yeah, no, that was that. I mean, they've had just a run of such crap. I mean, from being lost in the shuffle to the Road Dog stuff to the Gauntlet crap to the, which one was suspended? Connor. Yeah, Connor was suspended.
Oh yeah, Connor was suspended. That's
right. They just can't for the life of them buy anything at this point. They can't get a break.
Sean, who's that creepy guy from TNA that's supposedly coming over? Stevie something?
Crazy Steve.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they put Ascension with him because they both have that kind of look.
He's a smaller guy though.
He is a tinier guy. Yeah. Victor's
Crazy
not
Steve's
that
probably going NXT.
Victor's not that big. Victor's 5'10". Like maybe 180. Yeah. Connor's bigger. He's big-ish. He's like 6-something. But yeah, that would be two small guys and a big guy.
I just don't understand why Ascension just can't. Like, what doesn't Vincent see in them? Like, they're fine.
I mean, they don't do anything really spectacular. They don't. I mean, it's almost like. I mean, I'm not saying they're not trying, but I just, as much as I love them, like I just have this weird love for the Ascension. I've always liked them ever since I saw them in NXT. I think it's because I'm just a sucker for like the heavy entrance because I don't know. I just think it looks cool. But when they do matches, they don't do anything spectacular or memorable, and they kind of just kind of, in a company that's so big with so many stars, they kind of just get brushed under the carpet because they're just a meh. They're just a meh tag team. They're just above that. They're like slightly above average.
Also, their gimmick is 30 years too late.
Their gimmick is 30 years too late. It's, I mean, they essentially are like the poor man's like Road Warriors.
Sean, any comments on the Fashion Police versus the Road Warriors?
I have nothing to say.
That was so like vicious.
I mean, I call them the Road Warriors, but they're technically Legion of Doom. The one guy is named Road Warrior.
Whatever they are, it's just not working. Anyway, we move to the main event. To me, this could have been the best match in the card. In reality, this was a decent Money in the Bank ladder match. Had the epic stare down. That's the highlight from this is going to be the epic stare down between Styles and Nakamura. I've seen people online compare it to Rock versus Austin, which I don't really agree with, but. Like, you could tell these two guys, like, they're going to meet one day, and oh, when they do.
I'm just glad that they got a reaction, because the first time they teased it on that SmackDown episode, no one reacted at all.
Oh, it was crickets. It was crickets.
Well, where was that SmackDown episode? It was probably like Corpus Christi.
I think it was the night after Backlash, wherever that was.
Oh, I don't know where that was, but... No, you're right. It was nice to hear, and the reaction was hot, too. The crowd was, like, in a little bit of a daze, but then all of a sudden they kind of noticed it, and they were like, oh, and then you heard the build, and you heard the qual for a little bit, and it was interesting to say. In the end, Baron Corbin wins.
I'm actually surprisingly okay with it. I'm surprisingly fine with it.
I mean, I think it was kind of time. I mean, you look at the lineup. Who benefits the most from that? From getting the Money in the Bank, it is made for Kevin Owens. At some point, Kevin Owens has to win this. But then you look at who's in the match. Shinsuke Nakamura not really ready for that yet. AJ Styles doesn't need it. Dolph Ziggler's kind of past his prime, so it's between Zayn and Corbin. Kevin Owens, of course, has his title. He has to defend that. So it's between Zayn or Corbin, and I think Corbin would benefit more from it than Zayn right now. Zayn has a bigger story to tell.
I love Sami Zayn. Like, I legitimately, he's one of my favorite guys. He was great, but I don't know, man. I just, like, something's going on with Sami. I don't know if it's the way they book him or whatever, but he just seems like rarely he can put it together and get a win. Like, it just seems like he's really...
Look, we all thought that SmackDown would be a better option for him during the brand split, which it kind of is, but at the same time, he went over around at the same time that they're starting to push gender. They're pushing Corbin now again. They're pushing Orton still getting a push. Nakamura is now like one of your top baby faces. It's just not.
Where do you put Sammy?
Yeah, it's just terrible timing.
Sammy? It's sad. It's really sad because he's great. Like Sammy's one of those guys that like. I mean, for me personally, rarely. Sammy really has an off match with me. Like, there's rarely a time where I'm like, Sammy look like crap. I mean, he does a good job at what he does, but and Sean, like you said, there's just no place for him. Like, no one wants to see him versus Kevin Owens anymore. Like, a U.S. title feud.
Don't even say it.
I said it out loud, and now I might regret it because someone might have heard me. But, oh, my God. Sean, do you still have that whiteboard?
It's right next to me. It's been updated.
What are we up to now?
Well, they've had 5 singles matches since Battleground last year. And I've also been keeping non-single matches. So basically anytime they're in a tag or a multi-person match against other people. And that's been 6 times since
Jeez, 11 times.
Ever since the last battle ever.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Well, you mentioned Sami Zayn finding tough footing. Ty Dillinger. Like, where is he?
He's at Sonic. Yeah.
He is apparently at Sonic rating all of the milkshakes 10 and confusing Sammy.
See, to me, Ty and Sammy, if they don't have anything going on, maybe you do like a feud between them and the Usos, or you give them something to do. Give them something to do.
See, that'd be a weird tag team.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing is like you have like a Mike Bennett come in, and he's going to be a mid-carder,
and
that spot on TV could be for Ty Dillinger, and now another person has come in. And Ty Dillinger, he's gotten another spot taken away from him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I just feel like SmackDown, like, it's kind of getting a little bit messy here.
I think they have too many guys that they need to focus on. And they don't have enough time. Not saying that they should be 3 hours. I'm definitely not saying that.
No.
But there's a lot of guys that deserve time, and it's just hard. Like Raw seems to have more jobber guys on it, and they're 3 hours. The math doesn't add up.
Watching Raw is like pulling teeth lately. Oh my God. Like it's been bad for a while, but I don't know. Lately, just for me personally, holy crap. It is a struggle to make it through Raw. Well, like I barely pay attention.
And one of the problems with Raw is the fact that their champion isn't there. And that's a giant flaw for Raw is that you're not like you're having to rely on a lot of these upper mid card guys, and thus because your upper mid card is busy being essentially the top of it, you have to.
Yeah, but that's TV though. Like I'm more upset that the champion's not there for the pay per views because then you run into like we have to do a Fatal 5-Way now and then
yeah that's some nonsense.
Yeah, what are they going to do when Brock leaves after SummerSlam and then they have to fill 2 to 3 more pay-per-views without him?
Well, who knows? I don't know if Brock's winning at SummerSlam.
I mean, I would assume he is.
Since we're talking about it, I would like to touch on. I thought the brawl between Samoa Joe and Brock was awesome.
Wow, we are way off topic.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome. We are very off topic.
We'll get to our Raw stuff in a minute. But okay, so Baron Corbin is the male Money in the Bank.
Yes.
Winner. Money
in the mail.
Money in the mail. Money in the man. Sean, what do you think? What?
I don't know what's going on.
That just sounded funny to me.
Money in the man.
That made me giggle. I don't know why.
Oh. Overall, I mean, it was a pretty good match. The spot of AJ holding on to the briefcase without a ladder underneath of him is still. I'm still scared by that. He fell all the way down to the mat, which that is a long way down. And
that looked like it was one story.
Could have been more. I don't know. But he was on Talking Smack, and he was asked about that. He said that he thought that he instantly broke a rib. Well, he didn't, luckily. But, you know, that's a scary fall, especially for someone who's 38 years old. He should not be taking that fall.
He bumps around like a nutcase.
People forget that AJ Styles ain't that young.
Yeah, yeah. And there were some fun spots in there. Kevin Owens, all he did the whole match was get his ass beat up. Like,
oh my God.
Like, remember the first Money in the Bank ladder match? The only thing Christian was in there for was to get ladders thrown at him.
He was a ragdoll spot. That's all he did.
All he did in the first one. And I feel like that's what Kevin Owens did in this one. It's like he barely had anything to do other than to get beat up and be thrown into ladders and everything.
Oh, well, we forgot to mention that at the beginning of this, Shinsuke Nakamura was taken out by Baron Corbin and then came back in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was kind of a gripe. That was kind of a gripe for me. I didn't like how they did that.
Well, I mean, it did put some heat on the match and Corbin himself. And then once Shinsuke did come back out, he got a huge pop and everyone got into it again.
Yeah, he did. But that is a number one way to get heat, interrupting that entrance.
Yeah, and I feel like they did that on purpose because they were unsure if they want... Because, I mean, those ladder matches are tough. I don't know if you want to put Shinsuke in one of those for the entire match. I mean, if you really look at it, he only really took one ladder bump in the whole match. And, you know, it was at the end when it got tipped over.
That is true.
So, you know, he was kind of protected by doing that. As for the finish, I told you so. I said this, like, what, a month or 2 months ago? That Baron Corbin was going to win, and that's exactly... And I even said Carmella, too. I was, like, almost predicted everything on this card. I should deserve a medal.
I'm pretty sure, Sean, I'm pretty sure that you and I both said Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Even before they announced the participants, it was Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin.
Baron
Corbin. I hope every week until he cashes in, I hope that he comes out during Jinder's matches and does that lap around the ring and then just leaves. I thought that was for some reason that was so funny because he literally just came out pointing at Jinder and laughing, and he walked around the whole ring laughing at him and then walked right back up the ramp. I was like, that's
although we all know he ain't cashing in on Jinder.
No way.
Cashing in on Cena when he beats Jinder at SummerSlam. Anyway.
Yeah, there it is.
Moving on.
And there it is.
Well, that was Money in the Bank. Overall, I gave it a B. It was a solid pay-per-view with a lot of things holding it back. But again, I don't have as big of a problem with a lot of the issues that people brought up. I do have a big problem, though, with the issues of having too many heels being pushed at this time.
Yeah, that was another thing. Both this and Extreme Rules, almost all the heels won. On Extreme Rules, only one babyface won. And then on this one, you had... If you don't count Breezango, only one babyface.
One babyface, one. Yeah.
That is insanity. Well, hold on.
Technically, New Day won.
Oh, bullshit. Did they win the titles? No. That's a heel.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Yeah, no. But, like, you look at this card and you're just like, oh, God, one of the babyfaces. Like, the problem with the WWE right now is their babyfaces all fall into the same mold, all fall into the... either I've worked hard for this type stuff, or like none of them really have like anything like, interesting behind them.
No, see the problem is that they're not building any baby faces for the eventual win. It's like, I mean, look at the roster page. Every single champion other than Naomi is a heel right now. Every single champion, even in NXT, every single champion. So you know it kind of gets redundant too. And part of it's because there's no like that clear baby face who's going to take the title from the heel challenger, which is weird because WWE's always been the opposite. Like they'll have the baby face as your drawing card, and it's only been recently that they've been starting to experiment with having heels for, you know, hold all the championships.
Are we going to count Lesnar as a heel? I mean, he won.
He's a heel depending on what program he's in.
Yeah, because I feel like he's the babyface in this one.
In this one, he is. Yeah, but you know,
he won the title as a heel from Goldberg.
Yeah, he's one of those exceptions to the rule.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Well, yeah. Let me think. On Raw, you have the Miz as the Intercontinental.
I already checked. Don't worry, they're all heels.
Yeah,
all of them.
Also, I was, you know how they're doing this whole Entourage thing with Miz?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they're splitting up Maurice and splitting up Maurice and Miz because it's too close to Maria and Mike Bennett's thing.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, isn't that stupid?
That's too close to the Mike other way around, guys.
I don't know what's worse, that or dropping TJ Perkins because the Vince doesn't like Perkins the restaurant.
Yeah, that is some silly old man logic. That's what that is.
He doesn't like Perkins. He
literally said he didn't want people to associate him with the restaurant. It's like, Vince, I'm not sure if you know this, but not a lot of people know what a Perkins is anymore.
Oh, I don't like Perkins. They put sugar in my eggs.
I never liked it as a kid. I always hated their restaurant.
They gave me only 3 slices of bacon. I wanted 4.
God, it's silly old man logic is what that is.
That's, oh my God.
So
Vince McMahon is nutcase.
So Great that Balls of Fire.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Well, I guess we have some Raw fallout to get to before we talk about Great Balls of Fire. Or do we want to just talk about Great Balls of Fire?
It all connects.
It does all connect. Because when we talk about Brock and Samoa Joe, I was saying before, their brawl on Raw I thought was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, because Samoa Joe just comes out and just headbutts the ever-living crap out of Brock Lesnar. And I was like, wow. I thought that was an awesome visual. Like, he just literally, he got in Brock's face and just headbutted him. I was like, now that is what we need.
Yeah, Samoa Joe hasn't exactly had the buildup I was hoping for, but the crowd is behind him, but not quite as much as I would have liked them to. But my God, is this going to be an actual like feud? This is what we need. This is the rivalry we need. I wish this lasted longer than just the one pay per view, and then we have SummerSlam.
Yeah, but you know what? Better than that headbutt was the kick that he gave him when he was being held back.
That was sick. That was sick. It was flush on his face.
It actually kind of makes me wonder what would happen in an actual fight between those two.
Well, I mean, Brock is a very strong human being, and he obviously knows how to fight.
Joe is disciplined in a few things.
I was just about to say, Samoa Joe knows how to fight, too. And just, even though he's not a giant yoked powerhouse, he is a deceptively strong and incredibly in-shape human being. There's just something about those Samoan guys, man. I mean, you look at like not to go branch out too far, but if you look at a guy like Mark Hunt, who fights in the UFC, he's a 40-year-old guy from New Zealand. He has to cut weight to make the 265-pound limit. He has some decent wind in him. He's really good cardio, and he is just so strong. Like, if he lands a punch on you, you are going to sleep, and that's just the end of it. There's just something about Samoan guys. Samoan guys are just made differently. They're just so big and strong.
So what you're saying is when Joe loses to Brock on the pay-per-view, he's going to sue WWE?
Exactly, because Brock's on steroids.
Okay.
And they let him compete anyway.
Now, Samoa Joe, I mean, he's also very technically good. I forget what style he's actually trained in.
I think he's Muay Thai, but I could be wrong.
Is it Muay Thai? Let me see. Yeah, I'll try to find
it's Muay Thai, and I think he has a decently up there belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I want to say brown belt because I do not think he's a black belt, because they rarely give those out. You have to practice for a decent amount of time. But I feel like Samoa Joe is at least a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah.
Oh, that man is an ass-kicking machine. I wish the WWE would like kind of build on that a little more. But
it just it annoys me because like I guess they would be marks, Sean, that think that Samoa Joe is just fat.
I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, we'll just say the uneducated fans are just like, he's not a threat, he's fat. It's like, no, he's not fat. If you watch the man train, he is not out of shape.
You know what I always say to that? You know what I say to that? Okay, tell him to his face.
Yes,
go
literally,
up there and tell him he's fat.
I would love to see
what he's going to do to your right arm. He's going to put your right arm where your left arm is. Okay.
The guy is combat trained. Like he's trained in martial arts, and he's ridiculously strong. And he's just one of those guys too that's like, he's not out there trying to, like, even when he's not a heel, but he's just one of those guys. He doesn't go out there to be pretty. He doesn't go out there to, like, you know, to look good. He goes out there to like beat people up, like as much as you can in a pro wrestling match.
Like I said, do not doubt Samoa Joe. This is actually going to be a good fight. I wish they would again have Lesnar around a little more to build this up, but Lesnar,
I think,
of course,
he's been around enough. Like, they had Heyman the first week, and then this past week they pre-taped some interviews. I think he's been around enough for, I mean, it's only a four-week build, So, you know, I think they're doing a good job with that.
And as far as Brock's track record for being around, this is for him, this is being around a decent amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually he's not around at all. This is also a pay-per-view. We're going to have a ambulance match. I'm trying to find a history of ambulance
matches.
Braun! That popped me so bad on Monday. That popped me so bad. When he got out of the ambulance, I was like, yes! I jumped off my couch. I was so happy.
He just had to pose on that ambulance.
Of course. That's an awesome visual.
I've realized he is like a walking meme now.
Oh, he is. He's Braun Meme-man.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Meme Braunman. He's gonna start going,
meme.
He's sweaty McBig meme. Mm-hmm. That's what he is.
For being off and having the surgery that he didn't lose a lot of size. He's still pretty big.
That man is a walking pile of steaks. An ambulance match. So the rules for it, I don't know. Sean, do you know the rules for it at all?
Well, it depends. Am I listening to Michael Cole, or am I just going off of what the actual rules are?
Yeah.
What are the actual rules?
Michael Cole flubbed it real bad on Monday.
Maybe they'll change it just for this match. I don't know. I mean, yeah, look at Extreme Rules. We learned a ton of new rules for these matches.
Steel cage match has a totally different rule set, but
yeah.
The original rules for a ambulance match were the first person to put their opponent into the ambulance was the winner. The way Michael Cole made it sound was the first person to put their opponent on a stretcher and put the stretcher into the ambulance wins the match, which is a totally different.
It's a stretcher match at that point.
Yeah, that is a stretcher match combined with an ambulance match. Yeah. But
and also you have to close the doors too. That's an important part of the match.
Yeah,
Is that at that point a strambulance match?
Anyway,
Benny, you're fired.
Shame on Evan.
Shame on you, Evan.
But anyway, as far as the ambulance match goes, I actually have a prediction that could happen. The last ambulance match that happened on TV, I should say on pay-per-view, because there may see. I'm trying to remember. Did they have an ambulance match on TV like a couple years ago between Brian and Kane? I'm trying to remember, or was that just a casket match?
I think that might have just been a casket match. Okay. I honestly don't think it was.
The last ambulance match I can remember was between Cena and Ryback at that payback pay per view.
Is that the one where Ryback kissed Paul Heyman?
No.
Okay.
No, that was. I think that was before that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
But anyway, the end of the match was Cena had him in the AA on his shoulders, and he gave him the AA through the top of the ambulance ceiling. So he won the match that way.
Right.
Which is funny because actually the week before I predicted that would happen. So I have another prediction for this ambulance match, and I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that we get a non-finish in this match, because I would not be shocked if Braun gives Roman a power slam through the top of the ceiling of the ambulance, sending them both inside the ambulance, and we get no winner.
I would be completely fine with that, because that would be nuts. That'd be a hell of a visual.
And that would actually set up a match for SummerSlam, because Roman says he wants Brock for the title. You could theoretically do a three-way at SummerSlam between the three of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, Benny. Yeah, no, that would be pretty sick, actually. That'd be fun. I'm itching with anticipation to see Braun and Brock in the same ring together. Like to see them face off. Like, oh my God.
I feel like Braun versus Brock is for Mania.
No, they're doing Roman and Brock.
Yeah, Roman Brock is Mania.
They're not gonna throw us any curveballs.
But hey, you know what? If you were to do a triple threat match with the three of them for SummerSlam, you could get the title off of Brock without pinning him.
True, you could.
You know, you could have Braun pin Roman, and then everything's fine, and the next thing you know, you could have Brock beat Braun at Royal Rumble to set up WrestleMania. That way you have a champion for the rest of the year.
That would be cool. Braun Strowman does deserve. I mean, it's clear to me that WWE is moving in this direction of kind of giving people what they deserve, and Strowman does deserve the Universal title, if there's anyone that does deserve it. So those are the two matches they've announced so far.
And we're probably getting more rematches, too. Like, they're probably going to do Hardy's and Cesaro and Sheamus again in something. I don't know what. Miz and Ambrose again. It looks like they're doing Neville and Tozawa. What else could they possibly be doing?
Golden Truth Fallout.
I don't know. It depends. That might just be a TV feud. They're doing Rollins and Bray, obviously.
What about Enzo and Cass?
They could be doing Enzo and Cass. They might do Finn Samson.
In order to have Enzo versus Cass, there has to be some kind of stipulation, because in a one-on-one match, Cass will just run right through Enzo.
Yeah,
there needs to be
weapons. Which is exactly
there
what
needs
I think is going to happen.
There needs to be, there needs to be weapons or something. Because, I mean, they've been having
a match.
Yeah, because that'll make sense. I'll set myself on fire.
No, I think it's just going to be a squash match.
Oh, that's so sad. I am genuinely curious to see Cass's heel character and see what kind of entrance theme they give him. Sean, it's like we're saying, they're just going to pitch down the soft theme. It's going to sound all weird.
Yeah.
Because you soft.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
He may just become like an authority guy.
The hell does that mean?
The authority's not around, though.
True.
Well, I mean, I know they're hinting all this stuff with Kurt Angle, which is probably going to end up being Stephanie and Triple H.
More than likely, this is what they're going to do. They're probably going to do, like, Big Show versus Cass and kind of hold Enzo and Cass off for a while.
I don't know why you think the authorities, they haven't been a thing since WrestleMania 32.
You never know when they're going to come back. Well, I mean, like, I it's really hard for me to believe Cass is okay on his own. He needs someone to help him.
Well, that's the point of breaking them up, so he can have a singles run.
But, like, I can't imagine Cass as a heel. I just can't.
Well, they're going to show you.
He was pretty brutal. I mean, that promo he cut on Enzo was rough. That he got real into that. I mean, I was buying it. I totally bought it. I mean, he didn't stutter or flub anything. I mean, his voice cracked a few times, but it just sounded more like he conveyed genuine frustration and anger. And the way he talked about Enzo was like pretty seething. The one thing that kind of took me out of it, though, is when he rhymed at the end. I was like, dude, you can't rhyme as a heel. That's not like you can't be doing that.
I don't know. It worked for Lanny Poffo.
That's true. But that's Leap. Dude, Leap and Lanny Poffo is a league of his own.
Elias Sampson rhymes.
All the time.
But he sings.
It's more like A-B-A-C.
What was it that Kat said? He was like, this much is true. It was between me and you, we're through, or something like that. I was like, God, I was like, dude, come on. I hope his heel gimmick is he isn't a freestyler or something.
It was probably accidental.
Yeah, it probably was accidental.
I don't know. Kind of like Tamina repeating Charlotte's line on SmackDown.
That was hysterical. It was like, yes, we just heard that.
I'm thinking Cass is definitely going to have to wear a suit, or he's going to have to clean his... Because like most of the times like with these fallouts between like a group of like... I guess these guys would be considered like Jersey Boys...
Well, no, Enzo's New York all the way. I mean, okay. Cass is New York all the way.
Brooklyn Boys type thing. Cass is probably going to, like, you know, start wearing more suits, cleaner look, you know.
I wouldn't say suit. I think more of like a – I almost said Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, my God.
It'll be more of like – it'll be more of a New York street thug type, I feel like. He'll just be a big mean dude from New York that just like not, like likes to beat the crap out of people. I feel like, because that would fit him. Because I mean, the guy's huge, and as a heel, he can be a real like, and like he can use that size really well as a heel.
I'm more concerned on what's going to happen with Enzo. Like he's going right to 205 Live.
He's going to 205 Live, and
he can hang in 205 Live.
I was about to say, if he does go, he's going to have to actually learn how to wrestle.
Like, all this spells disaster for Enzo.
I love the guy.
He can always be a mouthpiece. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to be wrestling.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe they do Big Show and Enzo, and they do Enz Show.
Oh, my. Benny, you're
anyway,
fired.
Moving on.
And the women's division is still a complete disaster over there in the tag division.
Oh, yeah. I think they're setting up an 8-woman tag for no reason.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
That's fantastic. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Yeah.
That is great balls of fire. Anyway, so that's the look ahead on SmackDown. The fallout was they're setting up the rematch for the women's division, the women's Money in the Bank. And outside of that, your standard bear SmackDown stuff. We'll see what happens there. Anyway, we do have a couple pieces of news. They have announced some more names for the Mae Young Classic. The names are Tess Blanchard, Abby Laith, who I believe Abby Laith is Kimberly. I'm not sure, but I'm not certain. I think she is. Anyway, Tanara Conti, Kavita Devi, Jazzy Gabbert, Tony Storm, Princess Suge Hits, I guess. Princess Suge. Lacey Evans, Sarah Logan, they're all the names so far announced. Of course, we're probably going to get more, and we're probably going to get a big name at some point in there as well from NXT. We'll see. Wouldn't be surprised if Liv Morgan was in there. Anyway, so that's the Mae Young Classic. They haven't done anything with Liv Morgan.
There's a reason for that.
Because she's okay in the ring.
She's terrible.
Liv Morgan's not that bad.
She's awful.
She's green.
And she's not. I would say she's not as bad as Lana.
That's like that ain't much of a compliment.
Like I think Liv Morgan at least is somewhat polished. She just more of it's just reps and.
You can polish a turd, it's still a turd.
I mean, she's not terrible on the mic. Her promos aren't disasters.
Let me put it to you this way. If she wasn't banging Enzo, she might not be in the company.
Ooh. Ouch. Scathing Sean. Anyway, another piece of news. Speaking of NXT, they're getting a new announcer, and he's actually a familiar name after months of being on hiatus.
Vince McMahon.
Yes, Vince McMahon's coming back to the... after months of being on a hiatus, it looks like Mauro Ranallo is returning to NXT, which I like. Mauro is very skilled, and from someone that's done play-by-play before, he's very good at doing wrestling play-by-play. He actually is very good at telling stories. I think just Mauro and NXT...
He's making bank lately, if you look at everything he's doing. He is making bank. He's part of the new announced team for Bellator, which is pretty crazy.
Yes.
He's doing the NXT shows, and he's going to be announcing McGregor versus Mayweather. He's going to be on the announced team.
Well, the McGregor versus Mayweather, he's probably going to make a lot of money off of, but... You'll be surprised as to how little he's probably making in Bellator. It's not that much, but
I mean, it's exposure, and also like Bellator's not as cheap as you think. They're coming up pretty well.
How do you think they're paying all these guys? All these big.
I mean, they have some huge athletes, and also their announced team is literally Mike Goldberg and Mauro. That's like those are two huge, humongous names in announcing. Yes.
No, I'm not sitting here saying that he's making like he's making pennies on the dollar, but he's probably making like a good. Comfortable salary.
And what are you basing this on?
I just my understanding of the business.
Okay.
What? I know how it works.
I mean, he's making between the three gigs he's in, he is living comfortably.
He's probably pulling over. Well, especially with McGregor versus Mayweather, that's probably close, if not a million, maybe more.
I'd say maybe a little more than that, but he's doing good, and also like I said, he's getting exposure, which is also awesome.
And with the other two, he's definitely probably pulling. WWE. I don't know what his WWE contract is.
It's new for NXT. I mean, it's probably the NXT contract's probably a little bit less than the SmackDown one. But
well, he's still on his current deal until August, so.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Work it, and they probably would not have let him back on air if he didn't agree to rework his deal. So,
JBL and Vince can't bully him at NXT.
Well, at least Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Vince doesn't have anything to do with NXT either. As a matter of fact, Vince sometimes...
Triple H and NXT has total creative control.
I feel like what happened was Mauro was having issues with JBL and then went right to Triple H and said, dude, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to for you.
Hey, is that your same source as the Bellator thing? You just know that?
I think...
No.
I feel like, if anything, Mauro went to Vince with the whole JBL bullying thing, and Vince told him to pretty much like get the F out of here because I don't see him as the kind of guy that would hear out a claim like that. Nope. Because, I mean, we don't really
know how it happened.
Yeah, this is all speculation on my end. I'm not saying this happened. I'm just saying in my mind, I feel like if someone in the WWE went to Vince and said like I'm being bullied, he'd be like, get the hell out of here. I don't care.
Especially when it's JBL. I mean, Vince and JBL seem kind of tight.
Oh, they're super close.
Unfortunately, all those downs you're putting on up and down, it's just not going to work. JBL is going to be the guy, and that is a direct shot at wrestling, or what is it, WWE what culture? Yeah, these guys are idiots.
Before Money in the Bank, I liked that diss that the Usos had on Xavier Woods when they told him to look up, up, and down, down. I was like, ah!
That's great. I like the Busos, but I think they should have called them the Husos.
That would have been good, too.
That would have been funny. They can do a lot. Again, I'm excited for a lot of things in the WWE, but at the same time, they need to get a lot. They need to course correct a little bit, and that's why Great Balls of Fire looks like it's going to be a great ball of steaming piles of horseshit.
At least the logo doesn't look like a penis anymore.
Yeah, it still kind of does.
They like tried to angle it different, but it's like, no, you literally have two balls that are on fire.
You know what they
like,
say, the angle of the dangle.
Sean, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Are we just quoting 80s stuff now? Took the words right out of my mouth. No, I mean, I will say, I love the graphics package for Great Balls of Fire, like the one with all the wrestling logos on. I think that's kind of cool, but it just doesn't detract from the fact that it's a weird name for a weird, like, what's...
It is a super obscure reference for 2017. Very obscure. That has Vince's mitts all over it.
No one knows what the hell this is.
Vince does. Vince is like, it was a popular song.
Yeah, back when you were, what, in your 40s? God.
No, way before that.
We're talking maybe even teens.
Yeah, no, like that, Vince was a
is
kid.
That how, really? That's how long ago Jerry Lee Lewis was?
The song was Jerry back in like the 50s.
Jerry Lee Lewis was playing like when they were doing that song like when Johnny Cash and Elvis were doing like their initial tour.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking it was like
when they just started to break, like that was a long time ago.
Jesus God, this makes zero sense.
Also,
well, I mean, just weird.
they don't want to sound old, but they're literally basing an entire pay-per-view around a 50s song.
Also, fun fact, Mae Young's theme music is the Great Balls of Fire theme, but a discount version of it.
Oh my God.
No, Sean is totally right. Sean is totally right.
I'm waiting for the DVD to come out and they remove the actual song and they put in Mae Young's theme song.
Like what they did to the Dudley Boys for
yes.
that one theme?
Yes.
God damn it.
Gotta save those pennies on the dollar.
Well, I don't know what the deal was. I'm surprised they even got the song in the first place. But
next pay-per-view is Shake, Rattle, and Roll, ladies and gentlemen.
But the deal could be just for the show and promotional stuff. It might not include DVDs and re-airings on the network and stuff. I don't know.
All I can say is it's going to be a great ball of fiery horse crap.
It actually might not be a bad show.
No, you're right, but they do need to start course correcting a little bit. They need to start building up baby faces, letting them cut promos that aren't generic as hell. Like Seth Rollins' promo, that was so generic.
Oh, we forgot to mention he's on the video game cover.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, we talked about the commercial for it, but
and he also killed a man.
Yes, he did. So what do we think of Seth Rollins on the video game?
Interesting choice.
He is a murderer, and he needs to go to jail.
Are they going to do like what they did? No, it was Lesnar all the way through there. But do you think like they're going to put Angle in there at some point? Because I know that last year they had the Goldberg thing. Do you think they're going to do something with Angle?
So one of the things that that Seth destroyed in the commercial was Kurt Angle's boots. So,
really?
Yeah. So I would not be surprised if Kurt Angle's in the game.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I think he's going to be in the game. I'm just saying, is he going to possibly have like remember when they had Goldberg? They had the separate promotion with Goldberg. Are they going to do that with Kurt Angle?
Well, they haven't announced the pre-order deal yet, so we don't know. They could be.
You never know. You never know. I just hope there's a story mode with Seth where you go around just breaking everybody's stuff. You just light Vince McMahon's mansion on fire. Be like no one. It's like, you killed Vince McMahon. He's dead. Be like no one.
Yeah, he was a bad guy, so I killed him.
There was a few things that Seth destroyed. I was like, easy, Seth. You're going a little far here. You light Undertaker's casket on fire. You know what happens? He gets stood up at the top of the ramp.
Oh, he's an instant heel in my book.
Yeah, and he drove Stone Cold's ATV off and exploded, and that's just Seth. It's not okay, man.
I mean, I do like that. The whole thing with Seth is he's building a new era, and he's the face for this new era. But at the same time, that's not going to fix the game. Sean, what were the issues with the last game?
We don't have time to go into the issues of the last game.
Everything. You can literally say everything, and you're not wrong.
They didn't even have a story mode, did they?
No.
The last... Sean, what do you say? The last, ever since 2K14, they've been garbage?
Ever since they moved up to the PS4, it's been not fun to play.
No, it's a chore. The other day I was bored and I threw in 2K17 just for the hell of it. I played for maybe 12 minutes and I gave up. I was like, this is not fun.
One of the issues with video games now, and then we'll wrap it up. The issue with me with video games is they're not fun anymore. They're just trying too hard to be this simulation.
Well, no, they're trying to make it super realistic. And I just want to play a wrestling game. I don't need a stamina meter that goes down every time I hit a goddamn move. Or I'm not going to get into it. But yeah.
There's all kinds of issues with there's issues for me too with the countering. It's just so dumb.
And the referees are just so dumb in the game. They literally do a Three Stooges routine before they go down for a count.
That's terrible.
Oh, well, that does it for us. Money in the Bank was interesting to say the least, but for now that does it for us. We'll talk to you next time in about 4 weeks.
Shame on you, Evan.
Shame on Evan.
Shame on you, Evan.
When we talk to you, we'll come back with you with great balls of fire. But for now, shame on you, Evan.